Hi, everybody. In about 15 minutes, I'm going to be taking you to the June 2nd, 1999 broadcast of Grace Cafe. This was a radio program I was involved in, as well as five other people, at the studios of WCCD 1000 AM in Cleveland, Ohio. I want to tell you, first of all, how radical and how challenging this radio engagement was. We were in a Christian studio undoing Christian traditions concerning the subject of evil. And not just that subject, but a lot of other subjects, but on the messages you're about to hear, the subject was evil. My five friends and I, and many others, have conducted independent research in the scriptures. We've gone to the Word of God, the fountainhead of knowledge. We've gone there ourselves, not relying on orthodox traditions, not relying on scholars or pastors or teachers telling us what the Word says. We went there for ourselves to find out what the Word says. And our conclusions, based on prayerful study, are opposed to the conclusions reached by the Christian religion on the subject of evil. So, that tells you a little bit about the friction we experienced, because, again, we are in a Christian radio studio dismantling everything they believe concerning evil. I will say this: our news is good, their news is bad. All right? Their news is very bad. Now, I will tell you that you're going to have to listen to the end of this tape. Well, no, forget that. I'm going to tell you right now. You have the advantage over the radio listener because this was our third night on the air. No, this was our fourth night on the air. Third or fourth, something like that. We were still a bit green. We were treading very carefully. We didn't want to blow everything away before we even got started. So we were treading carefully on the subject of evil. And it was not until the next day that we spilled the beans of what we believe the outcome of the universe to be. Now, unless you know this answer of the outcome of the universe, you will not come to a clear understanding of the subject of evil. Because the biggest lie in the Christian religion is that evil is eternal, that there is no end in sight for evil, for terror, for pain, for agony. It is going to be an everlasting scar on a universe that God had hoped would be a shining tribute to His creative powers, to His love, but that in fact will end in chaos, and not end in chaos, but continue in chaos. This is the teaching of the Christian religion. Through independent study in the scriptures, we have discovered that that teaching is false. There are two verses we talk about on these three tapes. Well, there are many verses, but I'm going to point out to you two particular verses that prove that it is the goal of God to reconcile all creation back to Himself through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go to some far-reaching verses, and I really doubt that most of the people that heard us really followed these verses to their conclusion. Romans 11:36, one of the most far-reaching verses in the scripture. I'm going to read it from the Concordant Literal New Testament. Romans 11:36, and again, we gave this verse on the air, but we did not, well, we let the verse stand as it read and let the listeners reach their conclusions. The conclusions are phenomenal. Seeing that out of Him, capital H, speaking of God, out of Him, through Him, and to Him is all. To Him be the glory for the eons. Amen. Out of Him, through Him, and for Him is all. Everything came out of God. This is the great law of circularity in God's Word. Everything came out of God. Apart from Him, not one thing that has come into being has come into being. All things exist through God or because of God, and all things return to God. The Greek here says, and into Him is all. And unless you have this outcome, unless you know that this is how things are going to end, then you cannot look at the processes of evil. And that's all evil is. It is a process of revelation of God. It is the friction between good and evil that shows us who God is. And we learn about God through the friction of good and evil. And it is God Himself, as we're about to prove amply here, who creates this interplay, who brought it into being in the first place, not so that most of His creation can end in evil, but so that through evil He will be able to display His power, to show His glory, and to bring a universe to His feet in praise. Without evil, no one would come to God's throne in praise, because without evil we would not know good. It's the contrast between good and evil that shows us, teaches us about the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of God. This is a process toward a goal. The goal is not a never-ending evil. The goal is a revelation of God. And as this verse says, it is for the glory of God. And unless that is the outcome that you see, you are not going to be able to endure the process. And it is a tough process. I hate evil. It stinks. It causes me to suffer. It causes my loved ones to suffer. If I thought that it was eternal, I would despair. You know, we see people killing themselves today, committing suicide. We see crime rampant, rebellion against God, against law, against liberty, against justice, against everything good. And the reason, I believe, is that people are revolting, rebelling against the picture of God given us by the Christian religion. A God who has lost control of His world, who is scrambling, struggling to make sense of it, to make something better of it, to salvage at least a piece of it. This was not the message of Grace Cafe. But again, we crept up on this ever so slowly. We didn't lay this on the line to everybody, because in case you haven't deduced this in the first 8 minutes of my talk here, is Grace Cafe believes, I believe personally, that God is the Savior of all mankind. That's 1 Timothy 4:10. I believe what the Scripture says here, that everything that came out of Him is going to return to Him because of the blood of Jesus Christ's cross. That means that I don't believe in eternal torment, in case you haven't reached that conclusion. Sometimes you have to point these things out. They seem obvious, but they aren't. I do not believe in eternal torment. Why? Because it's not a scriptural doctrine. I don't reject that doctrine because I'm a universalist or a Unitarian, because I'm neither of those things. I am a believer. I don't believe that doctrine because it is an unscriptural doctrine. And in a correctly translated scriptures, that doctrine disappears. I know there's lots of objections. There's lots of verses that seem to teach eternal torment. Rich man and Lazarus, the lake of fire, the Gehenna of fire that Jesus spoke of. The word eternal, which is actually a bad translation of the Greek word Ionian, which always has to do with time. There's a lot of details concerning the dismantling of this doctrine of demons that we do not get into on this tape. We eventually did. I think 3 weeks from this, or I don't know when it was, but after we spoke on evil, we dedicated a week to refuting in the scriptures the doctrine of eternal torment. If you write to the address on the front of one of these tapes, I could get that to you. We called it Hell Week. And if you ever doubted in your mind, if you ever wondered how a God of love could eternally torment your family members or your unbelieving mother or father, you need to listen to this tape. There are judgments in the scriptures. Not everybody gets saved at once. The grace of God is not shown in its completeness until ages to come. This life is not all there is in matters of salvation. You need to know that before you listen to this tape on evil. I believe the scriptures. If the truths I'm telling you about were not in the scriptures, I could not believe myself. I could not believe this great truth that God is going to return all to Him through the blood of the cross. That's Colossians 1:20. That's another parallel verse. Another verse we mentioned on this program was Romans 8:20, and again, we just touched on it. We proceeded slowly and somewhat cautiously. I mean, when you listen to these tapes, you're going to think, you guys were cautious? Man, you guys are going for it here. Well, we were not cautious concerning evil, but we didn't want to give people too much too soon. It eventually came out very plainly what we believe. Romans 8:20. For to vanity was the creation subjected. And this is an evil. We're all vain creatures. We're dying. We're mortal. And this is an evil, is it not? But this creation, all creation, was subjected to this, verse 20 of Romans 8, not voluntarily, but because of him who subjects it, capital H. God subjected creation to vanity in expectation that the creation itself, that includes everything that was created, the creation itself also shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. But it doesn't happen all at once. There are judgments, there are trials, there are tears, there's pain, there's gnashing of teeth. I believe in all the judgments of the Scripture, which are evil. But that's not the final chapter. I got to tell you something that happened after the third broadcast, after the third tape. You're going to hear, we went off the air at 9 p.m. and Ted McDivitt, one of the teachers here at Grace Cafe, he kind of gave us a tongue lashing. He said, how long are we going to withhold our belief that God is going to return all creation to him, including all mankind? He said, unless we give this out, we don't have a complete picture of why evil came. This is the capstone. This is the one piece of information you have to have to see why evil came. How long are we going to wait to give this gem of God's word to the people? And he had us there. I mean, we determined that the next day we were going to go for it. You don't hear that tape. That tape of the next day, we decided to give the outcome in no uncertain terms. I think that's going to be the next tape, the next night I release. You're not going to hear that in these three tapes, but I'm telling you, that was the most nerve-wracking, well, humbling time. I remember it was like 10 minutes to 7, 10 minutes before we went on the air, and I was in tears. Literally, I was crying. Denise Telep and I were talking before that broadcast, and I just felt the overwhelming weight. I don't know why, but at that time, it seemed like a vast weight on me to give this information out in an environment that I knew would be hostile to it, the Christian radio station and its staff. It was fear. I felt the fear of being an evangelist, taking a message of grace and putting it out under the nose of those who do not see grace, those who teach condemnation. But once the microphone was turned on, the Spirit of God took over, and I'm going to let that tape go next. After, I think that's got to come out next. It's not part of Hell Week, but it is the first time we put forth our belief. Okay, yeah. What else do I need to tell you here? Just a minute. Oh yeah, you are going to see how slowly we get into this topic. I mean, it's hard for people to hear that evil, that everything is out of God, and which includes evil. You got to listen to the end of these tapes. Don't, please, even though some of this stuff might sound, you know, hard to you at first, please listen to the end of the tapes. And really, I'm giving you the end before the beginning here. So I hope that blesses you and makes this easier for you. But when you listen to the first 20 minutes of this tape, you're going to think, these guys on this radio program are really a little loose. Because we have a little fun. I mean, we have fun. Evil's not, the subject of evil is not fun. But again, I say the Spirit of God takes over on these broadcasts. And I think that that spirit also caused us to relax and to not feel the burden of being evangelists of peace in an arena of condemnation and fear. So we're kind of loose. We are, you know, we're joking a little bit, but I guarantee you that this subject turns very earnest and very serious. So don't be thrown off at first thinking, man, this is a three-ring circus here at Grace Cafe. Well, at times it might seem that way, but I believe that that made good radio. I mean, I think people liked that we were human beings, and we were nothing but human beings. None of us are professional radio people, and when people heard that we were doing this show, they were flabbergasted, because here we were doing 2 hours of live call-in radio with no radio experience, and we didn't know how nuts we were. We didn't know how impossible that was with no experience, and it's a good thing we didn't, because if we had had any, quote, human wisdom about this at all, we wouldn't have done it. But we did it, and I thank God we did. It's of God that we did it. And now my prayer is that God use these tapes to bless you, to give you an expectation, to give you a reason why the things that are happening to you are happening, and for you to see that they are not happening in vain. They're not happening for no purpose. They are happening for a great purpose, and that is to eventually, when the ages of time are past in God's program of the ages, to eventually bring creation back to his feet. I commend these tapes to you. May the Spirit of God use them to bless you. Thanks.
You're listening to AM 1000 WCCD Radio, programming for the soul of the city. It's time now for Summer Nights, right here on WCCD. For the next 2 hours, we will take you inside of the heart of ministries and churches that are making an impact on the city of Cleveland. And now, with this week's featured ministry, here is the host of Summer Nights, right here on AM 1000, Ricardo Johnson.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Summer Nights on WCCD, the soul of the city. Tonight and all this rest of the week, we have Grace Cafe Ministries with Denise, Mike, Charlie, and Ted, and Ken.
Line up for you tonight. We have a great subject area, and it's going to be lively, and we're hoping that you've got your Bible opened up. Get your coffee there. My name is Mike Tellep. I'm the music programmer here at Grace Cafe. And we play music about grace. We play Christian music, contemporary Christian music, and it's good stuff. And tonight we feature Avalon and Scott Crepain, and I understand we're going to have a special visit by Stephen Curtis Chapman. He's going to come and visit with us and play a song.
A lot of people didn't think we had the dough for that,
but
we have the dough for
some
that.
Some amazing things happen, and we want to thank you for listening to us. We know we're competing with the Yankees and the Indians, but after last night, I think you're much better off tuning into us.
They might get rained out anyway.
I thought they called the game because of this Bible study.
They should. They should do that. And we also want to thank all those wonderful people that contributed to make this possible, to put us here on the air to share God's truth with you.
So, amen.
So with that, I'm going to turn this over to my lovely wife, Denise. You know her, you love her, you can't live without her. Take it away, Denise.
It's pretty rough when you have to write your own intro. You know her, you love her, you can't live without her. It's the world-famous Denise Tellep. How are you? We're glad you're back. We are excited about what is happening on Grace Radio, and we know that a lot of you are listening and hearing truth that you never heard before, but you have read your Bibles, and you did go over those verses and those passages, but they didn't sink in. And we're getting feedback from people that are saying, man, I did not know what you guys were talking about last night. So we are encouraged and we are excited. My job is just to tell you a little bit about what Grace Cafe is. We are a ragtag fugitive fleet. Do you remember Battlestar Galactica in the 60s? Am I the only one that watched that?
I saw it.
Okay, Lauren Green used to say the ragtag fugitive fleet, and there was this odds and ends pieces of spacecraft going through the sky. And they were limping along, but they were mighty.
That's us.
That's us. That's Grace Cafe. Really, we started from a Bible study that grew and grew and grew. And, you know, when you get around people that love the Lord and love the truth and are willing to dig and are not slack in the scriptures. What happens is God shows up in a mighty way and starts to teach us truth. And man, have we been blessed, and we just didn't want to keep it to ourselves. We wanted other people to find out what God is doing and what God has done on the earth and in the universe.
And what he will do.
Well, let me take a moment now, now that you have the inside scoop on what we're all about, I want to introduce to you one of our Bible teachers that carries most of the ball, and he'll introduce the others that are here with us tonight. But tonight we have one of the Midwest's most gifted and articulate Bible teachers, a down-to-earth guy with his mind set on things above, an accomplished writer whose articles have appeared to critical acclaim in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Chicago Tribune, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's a publisher and conference speaker and will be featured in an upcoming conference in Willard in just a few weeks. Would you please give a round of applause to the world famous, okay, not world famous, the marginally famous.
Martin Bender.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate all you folks who have stayed home from the Indians game to hear this Bible study. No doubt you've been catching us the last couple nights, and we're really going to get into it tonight. We've got a big subject, namely evil. That's a good topic of evil. Denise is right. We're a ragtag band. But if you look at the guys that followed Jesus around, it was a ragtag band. You know, it's the Spirit of God that causes someone to understand his word. And that person could be a fisherman, could be a tax collector, could be a prostitute, as we saw in the scriptures, the woman who worshiped at Jesus' feet. It takes the Spirit. And that transcends denominational lines. We had a caller Monday night by the name of Harry, and he said something I really liked. He said, I'm a Baptist, but I'm going to paraphrase him now, but he says, I don't really like to say that I'm a Baptist. I'm a member of the body of Christ, because this is a living, vital organism, the body of Christ. And I go back to Peter, James, and John. You remember the Sanhedrin were stunned at their testimony. And I think we're looking at Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, mm-hmm. at the Pentecost time, because these were unlearned fishermen. The Sanhedrin never seen these guys at Jerusalem Technical College, because they simply were with Jesus. See, they had been with the Lord. And that is our only claim. We are indeed ragtag. I'm not going to speak for everybody here. I don't belong to a church. I am not a member of a denomination. I consider myself a freelance believer. And to me, that's an advantage. I write a scriptural newsletter, and people like my newsletter. Why? Because I am free to believe the scriptures and not worry about towing a denominational line. I have never signed a statement of faith in my life, because most of them are written by human beings. I do not sign state man-made words. I belong to the body of Christ. I'm a maverick. I can believe what I read in the scriptures without having to worry about the church board. That's what we're about here. My friend to my right, amen. Mr. You agree with that, Charlie?
Amen.
Charlie Cronk, I kind of talked about your ex-hippie days the last couple nights I introduced you. Today I'm just going to introduce you without any of that terrible fanfare. Charlie Cronk, should he get around to
I do forgive you.
Thank you.
I forgive you.
But do you justify me? Those are two different things.
I think only God can do that.
Okay, good.
Okay. I'd like to welcome you all back again tonight, folks. Those of you who are old friends who happen to have caught one of our other two programs, those of you who are new, we will really welcome you here and hope that you get something out of this, and hope that you begin to look at us as your friends and just picture us here sitting right there with you at your kitchen table. And just speaking freely, speaking our minds, speaking on whatever God gave us. And tonight, I must say, I do believe we're going to be shifting gears here, and we're really going to be kicking it into high gear.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be different.
And one of the things what we're talking about tonight will be evil. And this is a subject that many people do not see, but to us, it's a gem. It's one of the precious stones in the glories of God. Okay,
that's hard to believe to say that about evil.
I know it is. I know it is. But we really hope, and we ask you, we beg you, please pay attention tonight very closely, because if you don't, this precious jewel is going to turn into a lump of coal or a stone of stumbling to you.
Or you'll miss it.
You'll just miss it. We do not want you to say or accuse us of saying something that we do not say, that we have not said. Okay? So let us polish this stone. Let us show you. Listen closely. And God can, and we pray, will use this to bless you, to edify you, and to bring glory and praise and honor to His name.
What is that?
Excuse me.
Oh, I knew.
Perhaps you didn't realize that the Music Meister is having a happy birthday today.
Oh,
he was.
Until I told the whole world how wretchedly old you are.
This.
I wondered what I started smelling.
Speaking of evil.
Look at that
cake.
Oh,
cake.
No, a cake.
Man, that thing is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate cake.
It looks really delicious.
Now, wait, Monica, his personal trainer, is listening right now. Monica, we're not allowed to eat in the studio, so don't panic. We'll sequester this thing, get it out of here before he...
His personal trainer. Does he know how many calories he's about to... intake here?
Oh, you even blew the candle out for him. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. Thank you. Here's my response to that. And that is, when you mentioned Ragtag Fugitive Fleet, it's in Acts 4, chapter 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them and that they had been with Jesus. Now, that's the King James Version. And I just wanted to anchor that down.
No, you just wanted to change the subject before somebody asked how old you are.
Well, that's right. That's right.
No, I'm glad you...
25 minutes into the show and we haven't even hit our subject.
Well, let's go.
What was the subject again?
Well,
what was the subject?
Let's just go ahead and give everybody the phone line so that they can call in after 8
yet.
O'clock. No, after 8 o'clock.
Okay.
I'm just letting them know now.
All right.
1-888-281-1110. We will be taking calls after 8 o'clock on this subject.
Of what? What was the subject?
Evil.
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 Okay.
Before we even start, though.
We're not starting yet.
We're
hesitant to get into the subject, folks. We're scared to death. We will put it off as long as we can. Go ahead,
Charlie. No, we're not. I'm anxious to get into this. I'm going to condense just in a few sentences here, and I'm going to say this two or three times throughout the show.
Wait a minute. Maybe you shouldn't do that yet until I ease into it. We have to ease into this subject.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Okay.
I know what you're gonna do, but this is so. Wait a minute. They call me the bomb dropper. Remember last night I was saying stuff and you're doing the. Go ahead. Tell them what you were doing last night. Every time I said something shocking, like God put Bill Clinton in office.
Well, you mean the explosion?
Yeah.
The explosion of truth?
Yeah, do the explosion, what you did last night.
Well, we're going to hear the bomb go off.
Yeah, he kept doing that last night. Yeah. All I said was that God put Clinton where he was. That's all I said. Just because it was in script. 1 minute till what? We have 1 minute?
Yeah. Time flies.
What happens in a minute? Why did she show me this sign?
Because
what happens
we go to break.
We go to break.
A condensed.
This is good. See, I've never seen a more gradual entry into a subject. This is good.
Well, now we can get started, right, Ted?
When? Yeah, Ted's over there studying.
I'll put the hand.
I had to wait till Ted got done studying before we got into this.
Well, you know, since you brought up evil, I don't know. You want to go in gradual? You want to do some kind of statement? What do you think? Should we toss a coin?
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
I got a quarter.
Okay.
Do we have time to
casting the lot.
Do we have time to throw the quarter or are we going
God
to
will decide.
Okay, I'm going to let land on the table. You call it in the air. If you win, you
heads.
Do the thing.
Heads.
It's tails.
It's tails. We go gradual.
Thank you.
Ease.
Gradual.
Here's the music.
Rescued again.
We'll see you in a little bit.
You guys are actually cracking me up, I'm telling you. You're listening to Summer Nights on WCCD, the soul of the city, with Denise, Mike, Charlie, Ted, and Ken, and the police car is not coming. It's not coming to pick them up afterwards. They are. We'll be right back right after the break.
Nobody knows all truth. Only God knows all truth. But God has revealed truth to us through the Apostle Paul, and that's what I'm heralding. This truth will be just as applicable 100 years from now as it is now, and just as applicable now as it was 2,000 years from now. It's timeless. God has not left us alone to fend for ourselves, to figure things out, because everybody would have their own idea about things. Everybody would just be drifting. No one would have a lighthouse. No one would have an anchor. God has made sure that he gave us his word, and he inspired human beings. And of course, that takes faith to believe that. I understand that. And there are mockers. There are people who say that that's ridiculous. Well, you know, I can't help those people. The scripture has many internal evidences that it's inspired. I'm not going to get into that now, but God has revealed himself in words that people can understand. This is not a mystery. God is not covered in haze and smoke and unknowable. He's not unknowable. In fact, we remember when Paul was on Mars Hill giving his testimony to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. He kind of mocked them. He says, you have many memorials here, many statues, many plaques. You're a very religious people, and I notice you have a statue to the unknown God or the unknowable God. I think that's the better translation. Paul says, this God that you worship ignorantly, I declare to you this God, because it delights him to make himself known. And he has made himself known most recently in a gospel called the Gospel of the Uncircumcision. It's the gospel of the transcendent grace of God given us by the Apostle Paul, who was given it by the glorified Christ. I am in the midst of detailing 31 differences between the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. For review, for those of you who have never heard this, there are not four gospels in the New Testament, so-called Greek scriptures. There are four accounts of the same gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all writing the same gospel, the gospel God gave to Abraham concerning the reconciliation of the earth and the earth's inhabitants to God. This gospel was given to Abraham, passed on to Peter. Jesus Christ came to earth to confirm it, Romans 15:8. When he came to earth, he was in his Jew suit. He limited himself to Israel, and anyone looking for a universal gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will not find it. And many people try to do that. They're trying to ring some kind of new grace. They're trying to ring a universal message, ring, as like in a chamois, that kind of ring. It's like they're going to squeeze Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're squeezing an orange, hoping to get apple juice. Not going to happen. But when Jesus Christ ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he no longer was in his Jew suit, and now he was free to tell another person what the cross accomplished, not only for all humanity, but for the entire universe. This was the Apostle Paul. I write about him in a book called The First Idiot in Heaven. I call him an idiot here because he basically was. When he was called, he was a murderer. He was an enemy of God. He hated the followers of Christ. And what a great person to call if you're going to demonstrate transcendent grace. If you have grace in your heart that you've never revealed before, and you're going to pick a spokesman, you're going to pick a representative of that grace, the best thing to do is to use an object lesson. So Paul, who was at the time Saul, became an object lesson of the grace of God. He was the poster boy of grace. So it's the perfect choice. That this should make you feel pretty good. I'm not saying you're an idiot. I'm not saying I'm an idiot. But it should make you pretty good to know that God did his best. God gave everything to this man. Everything. He gave him a message that is waiting to happen. The message is true. Promises made. And God, the God who makes promises, will keep promises. The last time we were together, I was talking about difference number 5. For review, you can go back to Return to Zender. That's the show I did. By the way, all 151 shows will be linked to. Underneath this screen, you will find a link to a playlist of all 151 shows. That truth is timeless. Yes, it's being propounded upon by a guy in a car, but don't let that trip you up. Listen to what that guy has to say, because that guy is quoting the words of Paul, the latest and greatest of God's apostles. He gives the latest, greatest revelation that we have. It's like you need to constantly ask yourself, what has God done lately? What has he said lately? Because there are things that he said early on concerning the law. He told Noah to build an ark. Does that mean we're supposed to build an ark today? These people who go to, say, the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and they're trying to recreate, reconstruct the Acts ecclesia. That was something God did then. Peter's exhortation in Acts 2:38 was to people who had just crucified their own Messiah. He's telling them to repent and be baptized. Is repentance and baptized required today for salvation? It is not. Any more than taking your little lamb to Jerusalem is required for salvation. There was a day when it was required. In Paul's gospel, there's no requirement. It's completely grace. God saves idiots. God saves unbelievers. God never saved a believer in his life. Jesus never saved a believer. He saves unbelievers. He saves unworthy people. He saves the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. When I left off, we were talking about the different bodies that the saints will have. There are bodies, Paul says, terrestrial, and bodies celestial. He says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Jewish saints, people like Peter, James, John, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, these folks are going to raise from the dead at the end of this age, this eon, and they're going to have glorified bodies. But their bodies will be suited to the terrestrial sphere. They will be bodies like the body Jesus had when he appeared to his disciples, walked through the wall in the upper room, showed them his hands and feet. Actually, the nail went into his wrist, and Thomas wouldn't believe the testimony of his friends. I got to see this to believe it. Jesus came into the room. They thought it was a ghost. Jesus said, can you handle a ghost? Does a ghost eat fish? And he proceeded to eat fish in front of them, and they marveled. Jesus had a body. It was a recognizable body. It had hands, legs, feet, a head, eyes, nose, a mouth. But it was unable to die any longer. That's great. That's good. But the body that we're going to have as members of the body of Christ, yes, I'm making a distinction between the celestial and the terrestrial. Let's back up a second and review. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. The heavens and the earth, two different spheres of operation. Colossians 1:16 through 20 says that it is the goal of God through Christ to reconcile both the heavens and the earth to himself. And he does that through Christ. That's as simple as you can get. That's as simple as I can put it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, God is going to reconcile to himself both the heavens and the earth. The agent for both of these operations is Jesus Christ. However, Jesus Christ, if I can put it this way, has a bit of a dual personality in that he came to earth as a Jewish man. And he came, as Paul says in Romans 15:8, to confirm the patriarchal promises, that is, the promises God made to Abraham. If you are looking for a universal gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, again, not going to happen. You might as well be trying to wring apple juice out of an orange. You're not going to get it there, because that's the terrestrial Christ. It's interesting, though, too, in Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth, and then you kind of forget about the heavens. Because in Genesis 10, I think it is, he calls Abraham, and so Abraham becomes the father of a tribe of people called Israelites, who God is going to use as a priesthood nation to bring the earth back to himself. This is going to happen during the 1,000 years that is upcoming. But he doesn't say anything about the heavens. And I don't know if you know this, folks, but the heavens are just big of a mess as the earth. There are celestial beings in the heavens. Not talking about space aliens. Martin, is there life on other planets? You gotta tell us, Martin. Of course there is. I mean, but not maybe Mars or Venus or Jupiter. Think bigger. Way out there, there are celestial beings. Not dead humans. Spiritual beings who have been around for a long, long time. And there is evil in that realm, just as there's evil on the earth. God is going to reconcile those beings to himself. But before he can reconcile anything, what does he have to do? He has to estrange it first. He does this for the good of all the creatures. He wants everything, and he's going to get this. Everything comes back to him, loving him, wanting to be with him, just thrilled to death to be in his presence. But the only way that feeling can happen is if these creatures are first estranged, if they first go through this terrible period of turmoil, death, and destruction, because that primes them then to hear, to appreciate the presence of God. It's all necessary. I can lock this down in one verse, Romans 11:32. God locks up all together in stubbornness that he should have mercy on all. That's the order of things. Locks them all up in stubbornness first, then has mercy. He does this not only with the inhabitants of earth, but with the inhabitants of heaven as well. And we are distinguishing things on this show, and I always will distinguish things, specifically distinguishing the heavens from the earth. I'm distinguishing the gospel of the circumcision from the gospel of the uncircumcision, Galatians 2, verse 7. And in the book I've written called The First Idiot in Heaven, I highly recommend you go to my website, martinzender.com, and order it. I highlight 31 differences between these two gospels. 31 differences. After you're done seeing these, you won't be able to deny it. Like, yeah, there's something here. Why didn't we ever see this before? It's been in there, but it's been obscured by tradition. We're going to blow up tradition here from Studio One, because that's what I do.